obviously talked a lot about with love and romance because of Valentine's Day. And as you've guessed from everything else in this episode and this conversation that Moody and I just had, we want to really dive into it a little bit more here on the podcast this month. I went over a couple of these things with Moody in the conversation, but I want to go back to just drill down a little bit more of exactly what romance means, so that Farrah and I can talk a little bit more about romance in traditional publishing, which Moody and I covered, but I'll touch on it a little bit here. But then really what it looks like to write a romance in a fic versus writing a porn what plot situation. And what are some of the mechanics of that? So over the next two segments, we're doing this Let's Talk, and then also the next segment of Kingsploration are really going to meld together a little bit more than some other times that we've done this. So if you are somebody who listens segment by segment, we're sorry. They're not going to be very divided in that way, but we will try to keep all of the talk to the Kingsploration bit. You're all welcome for that song.
That was great.
Romance in as a genre is much maligned. You can refer to any of my other soapboxes in the last 23 episodes about how the world treats female pleasure to understand why. But fundamentally, romance is the second biggest genre of publishing. It's behind suspense and mysteries, and that's it, and not that far behind, to be completely honest. It's a multi-billion dollar industry, and it often pays for publishing houses. Very famously, HarperCollins has said a few times that if they did not have their Avon imprint, which is who publishes a lot of their historical romances, that there would be months where it would be very difficult to make their bottom line. And HarperCollins is pretty big. To be a romance in terms of traditionally publishing, and this means you can get that tag on Goodreads or you can get that tag on Amazon or whatever. Really what it needs to be is about a central relationship. The entire story's focus is that relationship, and the relationship ends in a happy place. That's it. That's the boundary. You may be flipping in your brain right now through a whole lot of fics that fit that category. I pretty much only write romantic stories. Even my porn always is romantic. I'm always focusing on one central relationship, even if there's a bunch of other characters that are feeding that relationship. The focus of the story is that relationship, and the happily ever after has to do with that relationship.
I focus so heavily on one relationship, sometimes I forget other people exist.
It's entirely true. If you guys are ever reading an event and you're trying to guess between me and Farrah, if there is another character or the presence of the letter U in the word favorite, those are two, yep. Two differentiating factors that you can tell which one of us is which.
If the characters have friends, it was flame.
Yeah. There was one fic I wrote recently, which was primarily about the couple, but it had a couple other comments and people were like, oh, it was Ferret. And I was sitting there, I was like, you have not read any of Ferret's fic. But in love, I was thinking that in love. The other kind of books that creep into this, people that talk about books by like JoJo Moyes and some other folks that would be romantic, they have romantic elements, but they are not romance. And I'm not being pedantic here. It's a very important boundary to set around expectations in the same way that tags are really important to readers on AO3. Genre is incredibly important in traditional publishing. Expectations versus reality, we've talked a lot about. To write a romance, you are telling people it's going to be this. To have a romance movie, you are telling people it's going to be this, which is why there are movies that people will say are romance or are rom-coms, and I'll stomp my foot and be very, very childish because they're not. They're movies with romantic elements. Why this is so important this time of year is because I think it is important to differentiate between the different forms of love. I write lots of fic about lots and lots of kinds of love. I write familial love. I write romantic love. I write the kind of like covenantal deep friendship love that comes. I write all the kinds of love. And so to just jump anytime that someone feels loving into a romance, I think cheapens romance and cheapens love. And we need to have wider conversations about this. I said it with Moody and I'll say it again. Traditionally published romance has not been great about forming all the various kinds of love. I can see a very strong fan fiction influence on traditional publishing when I track the history of fan fiction and the history of like agitation in social media and agitation for different stories in traditional publishing. There, fic definitely connects those dots for some people. When you can see the characters that you love enacting love stories that relate to you, then you can be, it potentially opens up an imagination that you could expect that in traditional publishing. And a lot of people have said that fic is a big part of that. And there are many, especially male-male traditionally published writers who have said that they got their practice in how to write male-male in fic. So as fic has broadened and let people play with different forms of love that they themselves may not have experienced, we are now seeing that in traditionally published romances as well. One of the things I love about the e-publishing part of romance is that just like AO3, Amazon opening up its own publishing arm to be digital publishing became the democratization of a lot of stories. And I talked about that with Moody a little bit and the whole Kindle Unlimited thing. So there are quite a lot of parallels between traditional publishing and fic and AO3 and kind of what that meant and how it can work and how it can move. Of course, when commerce enters into these kind of things, a lot of the parallels break down. All told, one of the things that I find incredibly encouraging as somebody who straddles both of these worlds, I'm still very active in romance reviewing and talking about it and gushing about stories. Nearly every story I read is a love story, whether it's in a book or in a fic. And then somebody who's obviously, I mean, moderately involved in fandom, I only kind of dabble.
Just a bit, one toe.
I adore how many kinds of love stories I can encounter on a daily basis. And that, yes, there's lots of tropes. Oh my gosh, like please refer to our trope episode for all of the tropes. Fic and romance share quite a lot of them. And you can fall into stories in any kind of manner, but I'm increasingly grateful that at any given moment I can pick up my phone and whether it be through my Kindle app or the AO3 webpage, find people I recognize falling in love, whatever that love looks like, and experiencing love, whatever that love looks like. And so as you're listening to this on the most manufactured holiday of all manufactured holidays, we wanted to focus a little bit on how fic and trad publishing kind of interact in that. But there are lots and lots and lots of ways that they are different. And I know Ferret has more of a holistic view on that. I'm a little too close to these things to talk about their differences. But so Ferret, help me give them the whole story.
Okay. Well, I've been thinking about this and some of what you were saying brought to mind also the FFN versus AO3 thing. And that if you post on FFN, you have to define a genre for your piece. And that's not something that you need to do on AO3. And just like to look at it from not a competing perspective, but sort of flip the mirror and look at the other side, the freedom of not having to say this is a romance also lets people push the boundaries a little bit of what a romance is, because they don't have to justify if it is a romance or not. And that's something that fic sort of gives you the freedom to do. If you're seeking traditional publishing, you have to decide who you're going to pitch it to, and you have to send a cover letter that says what the book is. And we have tags to do that, but it's almost like you get to sort of circle the concept but not have to actually pin it down. And that can have pros and cons, because sometimes you go into something thinking, this is gonna be a traditional romance. And you read it and you're like, oh wow, that was not a traditional romance. Because AO3 fics don't have a genre. But it also lets people, you know, I mean, the classic thing of fic is that you don't have to justify anything. You can just do it. You can just write what you wanna write. And that freedom can be, you know, too open for some people, and traditional publishing can be too closed for other people. So I think that it's interesting to sort of draw these parallels between the genres that traditional publishing has to have, because publishing houses have to have boundaries, and the utter chaos of the total freedom of not having to define anything you don't want to define in order to post a fic. You can just make up whatever you want. And yeah, I think maybe what's most interesting is that the way that people use tags sort of really does tell us what we need to know most of the time. There's sort of these, it's almost like, you know, the like Lord of the Flies thing. If you put a bunch of people on an island, what kind of society do they make? And it turns out that, like, obviously Lord of the Flies is not what they make, but that we basically just replicate the same society over and over and over again. Like, humans are basically human. And that we give people the total freedom of not having to justify their pieces, not having to pick a genre. And yet we see the same like combinations of tropes and the same structures of stories that you see in traditional romances played out over and over and over again in fics, because it's what people love. It's what so many people want to get out of their stories. So maybe at the end of the day, we're humans are human.
And this is in a way a really appropriate like final episode of our season, because it culminates so many of the other things we have been talking about and culminates so much of how we've all interacted with fandom in some ways, in the fact that genres and tags all let you curate your own entertainment experience. And over and over again, I hear people saying like, well, I really loved reading, but then I had to, like, when I was little, but then I went to school and I read all these terrible books and now I read a ton of fic. And so I guess I'm not really a book reader. And I'm like, right, fine. You read way more words than a lot of people read traditionally published. Fics are massive, like absolutely massive in terms of word count. And I don't ever think of shaming people for reading what they read. As if you're reading something, you're reading, and I think that's beautiful and wonderful, and I celebrate reading in whatever form it comes. But I love this idea that fandom can also smush things together. In traditional publishing, you don't get a whole lot of sci-fi that is also a romance. You don't get that on movie screens either. Movies and television and traditional stuff, because they have to make money, has to often stay, and there's a whole lot more stakeholders. I mean, a book that ends up on your bookshelf probably has 45 to 50 people having a voice in that story by the end of the day. Whereas fic, most of us are lucky if we find a good beta. So it's a really different kind
of— And a movie might have thousands.
Yeah, a movie has thousands. A television show probably has thousands for some people especially. Whereas you get to completely control what you write, and you get to and often the person that you're seeing is the only person involved in that story. And so we don't have in fic maybe the myth of the solo creator that we have in these traditional roots. That is a separate conversation. As I'm talking, we can do a whole separate episode on that later. But what I think is really great about romance itself, first of all, is that it celebrates fundamentally that people can be and are allowed to be happy.
Yeah.
And so much of fic, even like the dark torture stuff, what it is celebrating is that that makes its creator happy. What we are fundamentally celebrating is joy, no matter what it comes in. And for me, and for a lot of romance, there are romance scholars, by the way, there are whole academic disciplines around romance. I've done academic research projects on romance, which one of them will I'll get to in half a second. But one of the things that over and over and over again, it is the only traditional publishing genre that hallmarks the fact that somebody has to be happy in it. Somebody has to be happy. The characters have to be happy. There is no conversation about happiness or joy or fulfillment or anything else in any of the other genres as a genre rule. And that's something pretty cool, especially in these times where joy is really hard to find some days. I think it's really lovely. However you celebrate that and find it, if you find it in fic, if you find it in traditional publishing, if you find it in your offline life, in your online life, however you find it is beautiful. The other flip side of both fic and romance is this whole issue of the bow, bow, wow, of the sex of it, right? So this is when we're transitioning into Kingsploration. So if you are, this is a put on your earphones for grandma. If you're grocery shopping with us, try not to fondle the melons too intensely. One of the sameness between fic and romance that is routinely brought up both by scholars and by all of us in servers, I think I've been in this conversation 15 to 20 times, is the number of people that learn about their bodies and sex from both romance novels and fic. And this is a double-edged sword. There's some really beautiful things about this and some fairly scary things about this. And that is what we are going to talk about in the next segment. So we'll see you if you want to join us in Kingsploration.